Hey, everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you all so much to super producer and host, Ryan Hickey. He's holding it down for us in New York City. Thank you to you for listening, because there is no show without you. There is no me. There is no host. There is no advertisements. There's nothing without you. So thank you so much for listening. I'm going to be hanging out with you for the next 4 hours. And please believe, I'm not going to bail on you like John Calipari has bailed on Kentucky. We're going to get into that. Trust me, I'm going to be here. The show gets started at this time every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can always listen on the free Odyssey app. You can tune in on your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate. You can lock in on Sirius XM, channel 158. And if you got yourself a smart speaker, ask it to play CBS Sports Radio. And boom, the show will pop right on up. What a day. What a past 24 hours. I leave here last night and UConn and Purdue just get underway. We know UConn comes out on top. John Calipari puts out a message from his couch. I guess he didn't want to go outside and be accosted while he walks his dog anymore. He shared a message on his couch letting everybody know that it's time for a new voice at Kentucky, that it's time for him to move on. We're going to talk about it, of course. We're going to talk about Coach Hurley. Now that he's gone back-to-back, the first team with UConn to do it since the Florida Gators, what's next for Coach Hurley? What's next for Kentucky? What's next for Purdue? Tiger Woods sat down today and had a press conference. Tiger Woods said he's not done. He feels good, and if everything is hitting on all cylinders, he thinks that he can win the Masters. Okay. I don't know the last time that any part of his body was hitting on all cylinders, but Tiger Woods believes that he can do it. We got Brendan Quinn coming through next hour. Talked about this dominance of UConn over the past, I don't know, 25 years. The NBA is relevant again, right? No more college basketball. It's over. You got to wait until the fall. It's time for the NBA to shine. Teams are basically towards the end of the year. Couple games left. NBA playoffs, the playoff field is pretty much set already. Wild stuff. Bill Belichick, no job for him. Just wandering around the country talking football. What else would he do? Trevor Story is out again for the Boston Red Sox. I don't think I've seen Trevor Story healthy since he left the mountains of Colorado. And so we got a lot to do, including letting you know about a few things that took place this day in sports, which would happen to be April 9th, 2024. Yeah, we're going to go back in time. Not this year. Not today. If you want to holler at me here on the show, it's real simple. The phone number's here. It works. We paid our bills. It's 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. If you utilize the internet, if you're one of those internet people, which I'm sure you are, possibly, you can find me there. I am at JR Sport Brief, super producer and host Ryan Hickey. How you doing, man? You good?
JR, I am good. I am good. It was a beautiful day here, so got some nice fresh air. 70 degrees, so watch out. Oh. We're coming for that ATL weather that you have down there. Yeah.
It was 70 degrees today.
That's right. 70 and sunny.
Wow. It is a balmy, cloudy 64 degrees right now.
Wow, look at us. Wow. Tables have turned.
Let's see what it looks like. Oh, what's the forecast here? Okay. Oh, 77 tomorrow, 73, 70, 77, 83, right. 83, 83, 80, 84. Okay, yeah.
Congratulations, all right? I get one day. I'm going to celebrate it. Congratulations to you.
Well, we'll see each other.
80-degree weather.
We'll see each other in Detroit in a few weeks, so at least we can share in what will probably be clouds and cold. So, sooner than later.
That's true. And bundle up.
Yeah, I'll be ready. I will definitely be ready. Anyway, you enjoyed the game last night. It was what, it was the ass-whooping that you said. Maybe not to the degree. But we were both right, like most of America. UConn came out on top, and it was a runaway by the time we got into that second half. It was a waste of time.
Yeah, unfortunately, not saw that coming. Again, like Purdue, great season, but the way UConn was playing this year, last year, there was no prayer of them keeping it close. I mean, 15 points, it was... It's one of the closer games that UConn has played the last 2 years. So I guess in that sense, on the UConn tournament scale now that we have to kind of create for their dominance, this was a relatively close game.
Relatively close. UConn is just basically, I don't know, people want to talk about blue bloods. There's no doubt about it. Over the past 25 years, since 1999, since the turn of the century, since people had to start thinking about Y2K, UConn has won 6 national championships, all of them since 1999. They're the first team to go back-to-back since the Florida Gators in 06 and 07. The only other team to do that before them, you got to go back to Duke in the early 90s, and then you got to go back into the 70s if you want to go ahead and take a look at UCLA. UConn beat up everybody. They won every game in this tournament by double digits. They're only the 6th team ever to do so. They won by an average of 23 points every single game, handing out ass whoopings. And when you think about the tournament, they only trailed a total of 6 minutes and 22 seconds. UConn arrived. No, not even arrived. They came, they saw, and they conquered. Let's take a listen to the final call, courtesy of Kevin Kugler, and everybody here at the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network.
6.9 to go. In it comes to Ethan Morton. He's going to dribble this one out. And the second verse is the same as the first. UConn repeats as national champions. The third team to repeat in the last 50 years. 75-60 the final. The Huskies back to back national champions.
Well, I told you, they've been handing out them whoopings, folks. And not just the whooping they handed out last night. Tristan Newton, 20 points, named the most outstanding player of the tournament. They let Zach Edey go out there and do what he wanted. The fact is, they didn't allow anybody else to do squat diddly. Zach Edey had 37 points to go along with 10 rebounds. Let me say that again. He had 37 points. It's the 4th most points ever in a national championship game. Bill Walton, old busted up feet, bad foot, bad body Bill Walton. And everybody wonders why he participates in the medicinal things. Body was always broken 40 and 50 years ago. Well, anyway, Bill Walton had 44 points. That is the most ever scored in a national championship. Zach Edey had 37. And they didn't give a damn what he did as long as his teammates didn't do nothing. Purdue was the 2nd best 3-point shooting team this entire year. They went 1 of 7 from 3 last night. Let me say that again. They went 1 of 7 from downtown. The Purdue Boilermakers, the 2nd best 3-point shooting team in college basketball, only had 1 3. And they only took 7. That's a hell of a strategy. That's great domination. Let Zach Edey's big ass get all the points and never move from anybody else. Don't let him shoot. How difficult of a strategy is that? If I was coaching, I think I would have come up with it. Anyway, give myself some credit. Shout outs to head coach Dan Hurley. Of course, at the end of the game, mid-court, he did not miss an opportunity to tell everybody that, hey, we're great. The team is great. And damn it, forget now. We've been great for the last 30 years. This is what he said on TBS.
Yo, UConn's been running for the last 25, 30 years. UConn's been running college basketball. And I see all the former champs over there. And we've been running college basketball the last 30 years. Let's go.
Oh, yeah, he pointed. I saw Ray Allen out there. Ray Allen was already in the league by then. 96 draft. Ray Allen, proud UConn. Rudy Gay, proud UConn. Rip Hamilton, proud UConn. I don't know. I'm sure Emeka Okafor was walking around out there. Proud UConn guys. They've been killing it. Nobody's been as successful as they have over the past 25 years. He's right. He tacked on another five. I guess he wanted to include Ray Allen. He said 30. If you got to think about more recent time, like right now, the fact that they've gone back-to-back, head coach Dan Hurley, he thinks that over these 2 years, he doesn't care about UCLA. He doesn't care about Duke. He thinks what they have done right now, this moment, is the greatest accomplishment.
It's the best two-year run, I think, in a very, very long time, just because of everything we lost from last year's team. To lose that much and again, to do what we did again, it's got to be as impressive a two-year run as a program's had since prior to whoever did it before Duke. To me, it is more impressive than what Florida and Duke did because they brought back their entire teams, and we lost some major players.
Oh yeah, you want to talk about continuity? And by the way, the other team that he's referring to was UCLA. So I don't even know if you want to necessarily put yourself in that category. I would say probably not. Stay away from it. But when it comes down to Duke, he brings up a very good point. Duke was able to keep on a guy like Christian Laettner, who currently enjoys on radio shows and trashing NIL. They were able to keep on Grant Hill, who pretty much has an ownership stake in everything, a great businessman from a basketball player. And then you think about the team with the Gators, Al Horford, Corey Brewer, Joe Kim, I Hate Cleveland, Noah. Yeah, they had continuity, unlike this UConn team. I'm impressed. He's an excellent coach. Excellent strategy last night. It was fun to watch. Some of the best strategies. Let one guy eat and let everybody else starve. And that's what happens. Don't let that guy beat us. Man, they didn't give a damn what Zach Edey did. Throwing elbows and arms and dunks and spins. Good luck in the NBA. He's walking away from the game without a championship. Going into the league, at least he'll get an NBA salary. Good for him. Maybe he's probably a long run. Maybe make more money in NIL. But UConn keeps on winning. The team and the school in the middle of Connecticut, a state that has no professional sports, UConn keeps on winning. And Hickey, you want to know some good news after last night? You ready for this?
Oh, yeah. Let's hear it.
There were only five people arrested on campus last night. Five. That's it.
I guess they learned from last year. Now, it's one of those things where they've been there before for those students. So they know how to act, you would think.
Yeah.
Or most do.
That's a nice little downgrade. Last year, they were looking for 15 people to get arrested. And now only five. So I consider that a win. Maybe they greased up the polls good enough where all those wonderful people in UConn couldn't get a hold. Let's see what happens when they get back to campus. What are they going to do? They're going to have like an on-campus parade or rally? What do they typically do?
Of course, you got to have a parade, championship parade. Now, I guess you're going to just go through the city of stores.
Exciting.
And during the day, so, that in theory should lessen the delinquency, you would think, right? Oh. Being in broad daylight. So I would assume that the parade will be a little less criminal, maybe the right word, compared to the celebration last night.
Oh. Now, I know this. Are the students going to show up drunk? Because you can't drink outside, right? This is not professional sports. We're not going to see, clinging out there drinking a Budweiser. People are going to be intoxicated, but not outside, right? They're going to hide their alcohol?
So I wish I could say from experience, I've never been to a championship parade. I don't know. I mean, you see in the college, I think is a little different. Pros, right? We saw with the Chiefs. You bottles in the streets. They are just drinking in public. I think
illegal, by the way, except for, unless you're on a championship float. I mean, if I'm sitting on a city bus and I open a Budweiser, you know, I'm getting arrested.
You are. I think those rules go out the window for an event like this.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But also in a college town, I'm not sure if the rules are different. But I guess we'll have to, I mean, you talk about a must watch now. I don't know when the parade's going to be, but this might be now a must watch.
This is an issue that I need to raise with my local Atlanta City Council. How come when the Braves won the World Series, they were able to ride down Peachtree with open bottles of alcohol? But if I walk down Peachtree with a bottle or glass of beer, I'm in handcuffs. It's not fair. Why? Because I'm not Ronald Acuna Jr.? Because I didn't win a championship. The law doesn't apply to him. I'm glad that I've brought this to my own attention. Now I have something to complain about at our next city council meeting. Thank you for helping me think about that, Hickey. I appreciate it.
You are a man who cares about the real issues. Legalize drinking on 1 o'clock on a Tuesday in the middle of the street. Why not?
Yeah, well, it's lunchtime. 1 o'clock is...
That's right.
It's lunchtime. Have me a beer.
Take the edge off. Maybe some people think they're best that way.
Oh, well, listen. I'd go for one or two.
Right? Who am I to be a lawmaker to get in the middle of productivity?
Correct. The next thing I know, I'll be advocating beers for everybody on air. That'll be great next too, right?
Hey, some say they can make a very interesting radio.
Yeah, it might be. I think some of our callers end up on that side anyway, so maybe they've already done that part for us. But, hey, congratulations to UConn. Thank God you didn't tear the city up. And let's see what you do. Are they going to win three in a row? I think not. I mean, the odds of winning three in a row are extremely low. Unless you are going to plant Kareem Abdul-Jabbar back there for the next 3 years, I don't see that happening. Unless you're going to bring in Shaq to play college basketball for UConn, I don't see a three-peat. There is no way. Let me not say no way. Slim odds, very slim odds, that UConn can continue this stretch. And if they do it, God bless them. I'll eat my words. I just don't know how you can turn over the roster again and come out on top. It sounds like one of the problems that John Calipari was having out at Kentucky. Flipping a roster. Congratulations to UConn. Much love to the Huskies. Thank God Dan Hurley didn't go on a woe is me, you know, after the game last night. And thank God when the game was over, I just turned it off. I didn't suffer through one shining moment because I hate that song. I didn't even see him cut the nets. Hickey, did you stay around for that?
So I did watch the net cutting ceremony. I did not watch one shining moment.
Did Klingon climb the ladder?
I was not locked in that much. I had it on like in the background. Okay. So I can't say I was like dialed in. I'm going to assume so. I don't think he pulled the Zach Edey and bypassed that. I'm sure the people at the NCAA were not happy that he did not get on the Werner sponsored ladder, even though he didn't need it. And even though it was still in the shot, I'm sure they told Donovan, get your you-know-what up there.
Get your big 7-foot-2 ass on the ladder and cut. Yeah. I'm sure. Hey, got to keep the sponsors happy. If I was 7'2", man, I think it'd be funny. He should have an NIL deal with the ladder people. You know, that would be a funny commercial. You got to learn how to be creative. Zach Edey was way too serious last night trying to win that national championship, walking around with 37 points and probably the highlight of his career. It didn't look like he enjoyed any of it. Mean mugging serious face. Come on, national championship. Smile at least once, right? Maybe not. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Next hour, we're going to talk about this dominance of UConn. Brandon Quinn is going to join us from The Athletic. Wrote an awesome article about what they've been and how the hell they got here. We're going to talk about John Calipari, who the hell should be Kentucky's next coach. There are some wild, wild predictions as to who will pick up the mantle. Tiger Woods trying to pick up the pieces or whatever the hell is left of his career. The NBA is getting ready to pick up its season again, or at least people are going to care about that. Bill Belichick trying to pick up his life. What the hell has he been up to? We know. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. We got a lot to do. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right, it's the JR Sport Brief Show. Ruining marriages one day at a time. Hickey, can we use that for like a legit commercial?
I like that. I mean, I don't know if we'll maybe either gain or lose listeners that way, but hey.
I mean, come on now. What is the what is a marriage success rate? 50% right now?
50%.
Yeah, I can't. Me, little old me, I can't sway it one way or the other. If your relationship sucks, it's going to suck already. If it's good, it's going to be good. It's like flipping a coin right now. I can't do anything about it.
Well, that's fair.
I just provide I provide an alternative when you get sick of your spouse, whether you happen to be a male or a female. I'm right here for you, entertain you, help you make that decision. I help make the decision a little bit easier. Thank you to everybody listening right now. 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. You know, right before we went to break, we talked about the greatness of UConn and what they've been able to do. Unfortunately for Purdue, I mean, after disappointment, first round exits, semifinal exits, they finally get to the big one. They finally get to the big dance. They finally have their first Final Four appearance since 1980. They have their first chance to win a national championship, and it goes down the toilet. It's gone. And there's no guarantee that after a 7'4" man enters into the NBA draft that you're going to be back here next year. A matter of fact, it appears to me that it is highly unlikely that they're back in this spot, that they're back in this situation, given what they've been able to do the past few years with the 7'4" Edie down low. I'm supposed to think they're going to get better as they move forward. What do they got, a 7'6" replacement that I don't know about? And let me remind you, last night, Zach Edey scored 37 points in a championship game, which is the fourth most all time. And it's not just the championship game. He has been dominating all season long. Zach Edey only has one other human being who matched him statistically this past season. And you'd have to go back more than 30 years to find the last dude who did so. His name is Shaquille O'Neal. Zach Edey and Shaq are the only players in NCAA history to average 25 points, 12 rebounds, and shoot 60% from the field in a single season. Historic. Now, you know, if you remember Shaq at LSU, much more athletic than Zach Edey. My apologies. I'm not trying to dump on Zach Edey. I'm just trying to tell the truth right now. And so, Purdue, better luck whenever the hell you pop up next. And for Matt Painter, this also sucks because for about 20 years, you've been good, but you haven't been good enough to win it all. And for whatever reason, I don't know if Matt Painter was watching the same game I was. He was, because he was coaching on the sidelines. Listen to the reason why, or one of the reasons he said they lost.
The real difference ended up being their ability to offensive rebound in the second half. We just were wasting so much energy to fight once they got it to double digits, and then we would get stops and we couldn't get rebounds, and that was just really hard for us to overcome.
Whatever. Load of crap. Purdue had 9 offensive rebounds, okay? The UConn Huskies, they had 21 defensive rebounds. I don't find that ratio to be outlandish because, look, getting about 10%, or excuse me, getting about one-third of the rebounds that come your way offensively, that ain't bad. It's not the issue. The issue is y'all couldn't hit threes. That's what it is. You could not keep up offensively because UConn smothered you. UConn said you got a giant. You want to work through the giant? That makes the most sense for you to work through him. We ain't going to give you nothing else. They shot 1 of 7 from downtown. That is what got Purdue the hell up on out of here. Nobody else was able to contribute in a winning way. They were cooked after that. And Matt Painter, he knows. He's like, yeah, Zach Edey, he didn't just have an amazing night with his 37 points. Overall, as a college athlete, all 20 years that he played in Purdue, yeah, all 20, he said he had an amazing career.
You know, when you look at a lot of things, I think the separator normally comes to how successful somebody was, right? And so it's hard for me to look at things, but when you look at his numbers against the greats, there's no question he's in the conversation, but he's also the winningest player at Purdue.
Well, and what is that saying? I kid. If you're in Indiana right now, don't curse me out. I'm joking. But come on now. I just told you this isn't a school that hasn't been. This is a school that hasn't been to the Final Four since 1980. And so saying that Zach Edey is the best to walk through the building, I mean, okay, great. We ain't talking about Duke. I'm not talking about Kentucky. This is not North Carolina. It's Purdue. It just sucks that he's walking away without a championship. They've been close. It sucks for Matt Painter. Last night might be the closest that he gets. This college basketball system is so volatile right now. I mean, come on. Coach Calipari last week. Oh, yeah, work it out with me here, Kentucky. Work it out with me. And now a week later, it's changed. Now it's best for Wildcats to get a new voice? Come on, man. Where the hell we been? What changed in a week besides somebody throwing buckets of money at you? Now you want to leave? Spare me. So between the coaches running around and leaving at their own whim, between the players following suit, good luck to Purdue. It's impossible to predict what the hell they're going to be next season with no Zach Edey. He's out the door. Zach Edey did say this. He is proud of how he played.
I think for me, the big thing is you can say whatever you want about me. You can say however I play. You can say whatever. But you can never say that I didn't give it my 100% every single time I stepped on the floor, every single time I went in practice. And that's what I always hang my hat on. I came in and I never didn't give it 100%.
Hickey, has he ever, maybe I missed it, like, game one, has he ever sounded happy, ever?
Not that I've heard. I sort of get it when you get the amount of hate that he does. But, and I guess in that context, last day, I mean, just lost the national title game. I would have a bigger problem if it was joyous and giggling. But to answer your question, no. I've never heard him with joy, with happiness, with excitement.
I got to look up an old interview. I got to go back, I don't know, 3 years. The man has never come across as happy. Ever. And I get it, correct. Last night he lost the national championship. I'm not expecting him to sound like just went walking through a flower bed of daisies and roses in Utopia. But he just, and I get it. I guess he's enough is enough. He's had to listen to people say he's going to suck. He's had to people listen to folks downgrade his stats. You can't take away the man's numbers. You can't knock the guy for what he's been able to do. I just think maybe some people haven't been able to articulate what they think he's going to do on the next level, which I think is clear. He's not athletic enough to really be a difference maker full-time in the NBA. That's it. That's just what it boils down to. I mean, you can bully people in college at 7'4". But it's not like he's pulling up on a J, and why would he pull up on a J? Because he's a giant. Is he doing that against Victor Wembanyama is 7'4" as well. Victor Wembanyama moves like the wind. Therein lies the difference. Athleticism. Victor Wembanyama is just, he's an alien. Nike actually put out a new little logo. I think it's his logo. It's an alien logo. Cool stuff. Victor Wembanyama would eat Zach Edey for lunch. Zach Edey would turn, and Victor Wembanyama would already be by him. And that's the thing, Zach. Smile. If you get drafted, I hope you smile. No need for being so miserable all the time. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. You can't tell in the studio, but while I do this show, I smile, okay? 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to talk about a guy. He also doesn't smile. I know we talked about divorces. He knows what a divorce is. He got chased out of his house with a golf club. Now he's trying to win the Masters? Yeah, I wouldn't smile if I were him. Guy almost died in a car accident. Maybe that's also, maybe being alive is a reason to smile. I'm talking about Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods spoke today at the Masters. We're going to hear from him on the other side of the break. He's still trying to win it, folks. I'm not mad. We'll talk about it.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm going to tell you about Tiger Woods. Here's the short of it. The man is back at the Masters. He wants to participate after the surgeries and the accidents and the addictions. He still thinks he can win. God bless him. I also want to tell you about something that I just saw in the break. Yeah, Major League Baseball has been going on. It's not just Shohei Ohtani running around and gambling. We actually have a season that's ongoing. And so this afternoon, the Pittsburgh Pirates, surprisingly, they have a good record. They got a record of 9-3. Let's see how long that lasts before Bob Nutting starts selling the team off. They took on the Detroit Tigers. The Detroit Tigers won 5-3. They got a record of 7-4. Pittsburgh is 9-3. Okay, sure, yeah. Let's see what happens. In the midst of coming back to win the game, Riley Green plays for the Tigers. This man slid into home and his pants ripped, the side of his pants ripped. Now, let me tell you something. I've been watching baseball my whole life. I can't recall watching somebody slide into a home plate and the side of their pants rip. We've heard a lot about these ridiculous jerseys that the Major League Baseball players are currently wearing. That is a collaboration between Nike and Fanatics. It started in spring training where some of the numbers and the names were too small. It went from there as to some of the numbers were misplaced and higher up and looked like somebody made it in kindergarten. People started to talk about how on the white jerseys, you could see clear through them, and not just in the shirt, but in the pants. You could literally see the jersey tucked in at the top of the pants because the pants was see-through. And if you can see through pants, imagine some of the other things that you could see inside the pants. That doesn't even get into the fact that the players have been complaining about the sweat in the jerseys. Aaron Judge was running around on like opening day, and his jersey, the dark gray jersey that the Yankees have worn forever on the road, yeah, everybody's going to sweat. But it was visibly much, much darker than what it historically would have been. And so there's been a lot of, we're fixing it, we're working on it, we're going to test it. And today a man slides into home plate and the side of his damp pants rip. He goes into the dugout. And all of the Tigers are having a laugh because they know what we've all known and they see what we all witnessed. The uniforms suck. Thank God he had on like shorts or compression shorts or leggings underneath. What happens when a guy slides headfirst? What is his whole jersey going to come off? Are we going to have an incident of indecent exposure on the base pass? Like, what are we doing here? And I get it. It's tough to take a couple thousand players and all measures of the league and get them new uniforms. They can't just wear what the hell they wore last year. Didn't Nike do the uniforms last season? You mean to tell me that all these damn uniforms just went to the scrapyard? Did they send them to a country that needed clothes? What are we doing? Hickey, what's the next step? Somebody's going to end up naked on the field. Watch.
I mean, though, I just watched a video. The pants look like they exploded on the slide. He slides in like, I've never seen baseball pants like that. Like, just almost disintegrate. It's, what's next? I mean, that jersey's going to get torn. I just don't know how. You know, if it's a tag or something like that. But, I mean, these things are cheap. They look cheap, and now you're seeing in person when the games are being played, they're just combusting at the seams.
It's like one of those old comedic gags where you pull a string on one item of clothing. It's just one string, and you keep pulling it and keep pulling it and pulling it, and then soon you're left with nothing. Like, this is baseball. These are built, or they're supposed to be built, to last. You're supposed to be able to slide on dirt and grass and run and jump. They're built to, they're supposed to be tough. This man's pants opened up on the side at the seam, at the piping, like they were tearaway pants at basketball, like they were warm-up pants, the ones that you stand on the sideline before you check into the game, and you just whoosh, and the pants just snap off. Like, come on now. For all the money that baseball makes, for all the money that they have made, for all the money that they hoard and that they keep, we can't have better uniforms. We gotta have sweat. Guys' testicles gotta be, you know, in the pants. It's just, they gotta be visible. It's just, what are we doing here? It's baseball. Hickey, I'm gonna get you a Mets authentic jersey, okay?
Yeah, it's gonna probably fold and start to crumble on the way over. Packaging.
You wash it one time. The letters will fall off.
Shrinks three sizes.
If I get you the white jersey, it'll turn yellow, you know, with the first wash. This is, and I bet you, how much does an authentic jersey cost?
Oh, I think a lot of money. Like
200, 300
something, yeah.
Bucks?
You want like as close to the real thing as possible? I think it starts with two.
200 bucks for a jersey?
That probably costs MLB to make $3.
$3 in Indonesia, right?
I mean,
these pants are ripping, man.
At least for the Tigers, they got their uniforms. Have you seen also the problems with some of the alternates not being ready yet?
What do you mean? What do you mean?
So the Cardinals a few years ago rolled out like these baby blue uniforms that they'll wear like once or twice a week at home.
The red Cardinals, like the St. Louis Cardinals?
Yes.
Wearing baby blue?
It's a good look. It's beautiful.
Why the hell are they wearing baby blue? They're red.
Well, different. I don't have that answer, but I know when they wear them, it looks very good.
That's
but
like the issue. Wait. That's like when, didn't the Boston Celtics wear a weird color one year for something stupid? No, right? No.
Yes. For the Boston Marathon, they wore blue and yellow themed jerseys.
Yeah, nobody wants to see that crap. But go ahead. Tell me about the cards.
It was ugly. So they don't even, like, they don't have the option right now to wear those uniforms because they are not ready yet. Like the Nike Fanatics, they do not have the uniforms ready for the regular season yet. Could you imagine?
They got enough problems trying to fix the basic ones.
They don't. I mean, the uniforms stink, and then they don't even have like the alternate uniforms ready for teams to wear by opening day.
You know,
it's so baseball it hurts.
Sometimes teams do too much. Leagues do too much when it comes to the uniforms. Like in the NBA, we don't need 8 million alternate uniforms. I'm glad the NFL, God bless them, they did away with those ridiculous Thursday night color rush jerseys. The players ran around looking like highlighters, bright green for Seattle and bright blue and gray for the Lions and green for the Jets. It was an abomination. Just make decent clothes that don't fall apart. By the way, I see the NFL is trying to move forward with more position-specific helmets for their players. Trying to say, oh, well, you're a quarterback. We need to, I don't know, put more padding in the back. Just wild stuff. Get the baseline uniforms working first. and then worry about all this other crap later. Major League Baseball players, clothes are falling apart at the seams. Literally. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. I did mention to you about Tiger Woods. Masters gets going this week. Tiger Woods showed up at his first press conference, and Tiger Woods is letting everybody know that even though his body is falling apart at the seams, that Tiger Woods still feels that he can go out there and win it all. Listen to this man.
What do you believe that you can do this week?
If everything comes together, I think I can get one more. You want me to describe that any more than that, or we're good?
Everything comes together. Man, we are beyond the point of everything coming together for Tiger Woods. We are so beyond it. Back surgeries, ankles, knees, car accidents, drug addictions. I know he just won the last Masters in 2019. Every year that goes by, we get further from it, and every year he has an issue. Last year it was too cold outside. At least this year at Augusta, the weather's much nicer. But damn, what does Tiger Woods have left in the tank, people? The answer's nothing. And I'm going to save this for later. I'm pretty sure you heard that a friend of Tiger Woods, I don't know what type of friend this is, said that Tiger Woods is so committed to winning the Masters. He's in the best shape that he's been in a long time, and he is even abstaining from sex. So I don't know if he's getting ready to play golf or box. But either way, Tiger Woods, I don't know if his body has the stamina to do anything. It's probably best that he refrain from all physical activities. That's another conversation, though. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. We're going to take a break. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk about someone else who needs to take a break. It's Coach Cal. He's leaving Kentucky for Arkansas. We'll talk about it. The JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. Don't move.
Hey, everyone. This is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.